This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents 1-2-3 Magic. Effective Discipline for Children, 2 through 12. Sixth Edition. By Thomas W. Phelan, Ph.D. Narrated by Paul Costanzo. Preface. A number of years ago, a young mom came into my office. She was a single mother of three, and she was 33 years old. When she sat down and I had a good chance to look at her, I could see that Sarah looked like she had been run over by a truck. When I asked the young woman what had brought her in to see me, she said, "Dr. Phelan, I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. It's horrible. I just lie there, pull the covers over my head, and cringe." "Why don't you want to get up?" I asked. "The thought of getting my three kids up and ready for school is horrible. It's absolutely horrible," she said. "They don't cooperate. They fight. They treat me like I'm invisible. I scream. I yell. I nag. The whole thing is so upsetting that it ruins my day. I can't concentrate at work, and I'm depressed. Then the next morning, I have to do it all over again." After asking Sarah more questions and doing a brief history of her life, I asked if she'd like to learn 1-2-3 magic. "I'll do anything," she said. Sarah meant what she said. I taught her 1-2-3 magic. She went home and told the kids things were going to be different. The kids smirked and looked at her like she was nuts. Over the next few weeks, this young mother made believers out of her three children. She used counting for sibling rivalry and disrespect. She used some of our START behavior tactics for picking up, homework, and most importantly, getting up and out in the morning. She also employed sympathetic listening and shared one-on-one fun as bonding strategies. Sarah was a trooper. As she revolutionized her home life, we started spacing out our sessions, since she didn't need to come in as often. One day, early in January, Sarah came in for her last visit. She no longer looked like she'd been run over by a truck. As she sat down, I asked her how things were going. "Really well," she said. "Well, that's saying something," I pointed out, "especially since you just spent 2 weeks with your kids over Christmas vacation." "Yep, it went well," she said. "I've come a long way." Then she hesitated. "But you know something?" she added. "I didn't realize how far I'd come until after they went back to school after Christmas vacation." "What do you mean?" I asked. A little teary, she paused, then said, "I missed them for the first time in my life." What can 1-2-3 magic do for you? If you are raising young children, the 1-2-3 magic program might be your ticket to effective and enjoyable parenting for several reasons. 1. The book has sold more than 1.6 million copies. 2. 1-2-3 magic has been translated into 22 languages. 3. Over the last several years, 1-2-3 Magic has consistently been the number one child discipline book on Amazon.com. 4. The program is dad-friendly. 5. It's evidence-based. That means it works. For best results, this edition of 1-2-3 Magic describes straightforward methods for managing the behavior of children from the ages of approximately 2 to 12, whether they're average or special needs kids. You can actually start at about 18 months with a typically developing child. To get the best results, keep in mind the following. 1. The strategies should be used exactly as they are described here, especially with regard to the no talking and no emotion rules. 2. If both parents are living at home, ideally, both parents should use the program. If one parent refuses to use 1-2-3 magic, however, the other parent can still use it on his or her own, while hoping, of course, that the partner or spouse is doing something reasonable with the kids. 3. Single, separated, and divorced parents can use our methods effectively by themselves. It is preferable if all parents, even if they are in different locations, are using the same program. But that isn't always possible. In fact, single parents greatly benefit from a simple, ineffective system like 123 Magic. If you are parenting on your own, you are very likely to feel overloaded, and you don't have a lot of time to spend learning discipline programs. Also, because you're by yourself, you cannot afford to be inefficient in managing your children. You only have so much energy. 4. Grandparents, babysitters, and other caregivers have also found the 123 program very helpful in managing young children. Actually, many grandparents first discovered 123 Magic on their own and then shared it with their children. In addition, we hear more and more these days that grandparents are raising their grandchildren themselves, and these adults often find 123 Magic to be a lifesaver. 5. Make sure your kids are in good physical health. It is a well-known fact that illness, allergies, and physical pain can aggravate both behavioral and emotional problems in children. Regular physical exams for the kids are of critical importance. It's also important to know and respect your children's natural daily rhythms regarding food, sleep, and bathroom. A child who missed a nap, who feels hungry, or who has to go to the bathroom can be much more challenging to parent. A note about psychological evaluation and counseling. Some parents may wonder, when in the process of using 123 Magic, is it necessary to get a mental health professional involved? Psychological evaluation and counseling are recommended before using 123 Magic if any child has a history of excessive separation anxiety, physical violence, or extremely self-punitive behavior. These children can be very difficult to manage during the initial testing period when they are still adjusting to the new discipline. If your family is currently in counseling, this program should be discussed with the counselor before you use it. If your counselor is not familiar with 123 Magic, take a copy of this book, the DVD, or the audio CD for him or her to become familiar with. Psychological evaluation and counseling are recommended after using 123 Magic if 1. Marital instability or conflict is interfering with the effective use of the methods. 123 Magic is normally an excellent way to get mom and dad on the same page in dealing with the kids. Sometimes just a few counseling sessions can help right the ship. 2. One or both parents are incapable of following the no-talking and no-emotion rules. Refer to Chapter 4. Life stressors, as well as problems such as anxiety and depression, can make it hard for some parents to calm down enough to effectively use 123 Magic. Drug and alcohol use can also make moms and dads volatile, obnoxious, and ineffective. 3. Behavior problems, as well as testing and manipulation by the child, are continuing at too high a level for more than 3 weeks after starting the program. Your child was hard to manage before 123 Magic. Now he's better, but you still feel managing him is too much of a grind. Check it out with a professional. 4. Trust your instincts. Here's a good rule of thumb. If you have been worrying about a particular problem in your child for more than 6 months, that's too long. See a mental health professional and find out if there is, in fact, something wrong. If there is, try to fix it or learn how to manage it. If there's nothing wrong, stop worrying. Serious psychological and behavioral problems in young children frequently include persistent difficulties with the following: paying attention or sitting still, language development, social interaction, and restricted interests, negative, hostile, and defiant behavior, excessive worrying or unusual anxiety about separation, loss of interest in fun activities and irritability, excessive verbal and physical aggression, disregard for age-appropriate norms and rules, unexpected learning difficulties. Introduction. Parenting. Long hours, no pay. Excellent benefits. Can I have a Twinkie? No, dear.
Why not?
'Cause we're eating at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, but I want one.
I just said you couldn't have one.
You never give me anything.
What do you mean I never give you anything? Do you have clothes on? Is there a roof over your head? Am I feeding you in 2 seconds?
You gave Joey one half an hour ago.
Listen, are you your brother? Besides, he eats his dinner.
I promise I'll eat my dinner.
Don't give me this promise stuff, Monica. Yesterday, at 4:30, you had half a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and you didn't eat anything at dinner.
Then I'm going to kill myself and then run away from home.
Welcome to 1-2-3 Magic. Parenting is one of the most important jobs in the world, and it can also be one of life's most enjoyable experiences. Small children are engaging, affectionate, entertaining, curious, full of life, and fun to be around. For many adults, parenting provides profound and unique benefits unequaled by any other area of life. Yet being a mom or a dad can also be unbelievably frustrating. Repeat the Twinkie scene more than 1,000 times, and you have guaranteed misery. In extreme but all too common situations, that misery can become the source of emotional and physical abuse. That's no way for anyone, child or adult, to live. Children don't come with a How to Raise Me training manual. That's why there is a program like 1-2-3 Magic. The 1-2-3 program is currently being used all over the world by millions of parents, including single and divorced, teachers, grandparents, daycare centers, babysitters, summer camp counselors, hospital staff, and other child caretakers, all of whom are working toward the goal of raising happy, healthy children. The 1-2-3 program is also being taught and recommended by thousands of mental health professionals and pediatricians. At parent-teacher conferences, teachers recommend 1-2-3 Magic to the parents of their students, and sometimes parents recommend 1-2-3 Magic for teachers to the teachers. Why all the enthusiasm? As one parent put it, 1-2-3 Magic was easy to learn, and it gave me results. I went back to enjoying my kids and being the kind of mother I knew I could be. More than 25 years after the launch of the program, we're hearing from parents today who say, "My kids were great kids, and now they're nice adults. We enjoy being with them." 1-2-3 Magic helps children grow up to be self-disciplined adults who are competent, happy, and able to get along with others. In other words, it helps produce emotionally intelligent people. People who can manage their own feelings, as well as understand and respond to the emotions of others. The methods described in this book are easy to master, and you can start the program right away. Depending on whether you use the book, the audio CD, or the 2 DVDs, the technique takes about 3 to 4 hours to learn. Anyone can use 1-2-3 Magic. All it takes is determination and commitment. How to get started. When you finish learning the 1-2-3 Magic program, it is a good idea to start practicing it immediately. Talk with your spouse or partner if both of you are living at home and then get going right away. If you are a single parent, take a deep breath and then explain the drill to your children. Do the same thing if you're a grandparent. If you don't start right away, you may never get around to it. After learning 1-2-3 Magic, you will know exactly what to do, what not to do, what to say, and what not to say in just about every one of the common everyday problem situations you run into with your kids. Because 1-2-3 Magic is based on only a few basic but critical principles, you will not only be able to remember what to do, you will be able to do it when you are anxious, agitated, or otherwise upset, which for many of us parents is every day. You will also be able to be a kind but effective parent when you are busy, in a hurry, or otherwise preoccupied. What to expect when you begin the 1-2-3 program? When you start 1-2-3 Magic, your relationship with your children will change quickly. But there is good news and bad news. The good news is that initially, about half of all kids will fall into the immediate cooperator category. You start the program, and they cooperate right away, sometimes just like magic. What do? Just relax and enjoy your good fortune. The bad news is that the other half of the kids will fall into the immediate tester category. These children will get worse first. They will challenge you to see if you really mean business with your new parenting ideas. If you stick to your guns, however, no arguing, yelling, or hitting, you will get the vast majority of these little testers shaped up fairly well in about a week to 10 days. Then what do? You start enjoying your children again. Believe it or not, you may soon have a much more peaceful home and more enjoyable kids. You will go back to liking and respecting yourself as a parent, and it can all happen in the foreseeable future. Before we get into the details of the 1-2-3 program and Parenting Job 1, Controlling Obnoxious Behavior, we should identify some very important concepts that are fundamental to understanding how 1-2-3 magic works. 1. The most effective orientation to, or philosophy of, parenting. Chapter 1. 2. The three basic parenting jobs. Chapter 2. 3. The dangerous assumption parents, teachers, and other caretakers often make about young children. Chapter 3. 4. The two biggest discipline mistakes made by adults. Chapter 4. Part 1. Building a solid foundation for parenting. 1. Orientation to the parenting profession. How to prepare for the world's most important job. There's no way to know what parenting is like until you do it. Whatever thoughts you may have had about becoming a mom or a dad, bringing that first child home is a jolt, a big jolt. The only guarantee is that raising your child will be more difficult and more rewarding than you could ever have expected. 1-2-3 magic is based on the idea that parenting should be looked at as a profession. In other words, some training will make the job much easier, but that training shouldn't have to take years or involve bringing tons of books home from the library. One book should do it. Ground rules for effective parenting. The place to start is with your basic parenting philosophy, your overall orientation to the job, which provides the ground rules. Even though the job changes as the kids get older, effective parents have two important qualities. They are, 1, warm and friendly on the one hand, 2, demanding and firm on the other. Being warm and friendly means taking care of kids' emotional and physical needs. It means feeding them, keeping them safe, warm, and well-clothed, and making sure they get enough sleep. Warmth and friendliness also mean being sensitive to the children's feelings, sharing their joy over a new friend, comforting them when their ice cream falls on the ground, listening sympathetically when they're angry at their teacher, and enjoying their company. Being warm and friendly also means liking, not just loving, your children. The other important parental trait, being demanding and firm, is meant in the good sense. Good parents expect something from their kids. They expect good behavior in school, respect toward adults, hard work on academics, effort in sports, and relationships with friends that include sharing and kindness. They expect their children to follow the rules, to do things for other people, and to sometimes confront issues that are hard or scary. In other words, effective parents expect their children to rise to life's challenges. As you know, there are plenty. And to respect the rules and limits that will be required for their behavior. These two parental orientations, warm, friendly, and demanding, firm, might at first seem contradictory. They are not. Some situations call for one, some for the other. And some situations require both. For example, what if your daughter Megan slaps her brother John? Time for the demanding side of parenting. But if Megan feeds the dog without being asked, time for the warm side. What if it's time for bed? Both friendly and firm sides are necessary. The friendly side might mean snuggling in bed with a child for 15 minutes of story time before lights out. The demanding side, on the other hand, might mean requiring the kids to get ready for bed. Teeth, bath or shower, pajamas, and so on, before story time can happen. And at 9 o'clock, firm means lights out. No ifs, ands, or buts. The messages this parenting philosophy sends to children are 1. Warm, friendly. I love you, and I'll take care of you. 2. Demanding, firm. I expect something from you. Why are both the warm, friendly, and demanding, firm attitudes toward your children necessary? For 2 reasons. The first reason is simple. Fun. It would be nice if you could enjoy the children while they are growing up in your household. Kids are energetic, cute, exciting, and fun, and you can have great times with them you'll never forget. The second reason is a bit sad. You want your children to grow up, leave home someday, and make it on their own. Warm and demanding, therefore, also means encouraging and respecting your kids' growing independence. Friendly and firm means not hovering and not being overprotective. It means giving children a chance to do things more and more on their own as they get older. When our oldest walked 5 blocks to kindergarten on the first day of school, I was sure he was never coming back. He came back just fine, and I learned a lesson about independence and about his growing competence. Key concept. Research has shown that effective parents are warm and friendly on the one hand, but also demanding and firm on the other. Both orientations are critical to raising emotionally intelligent and mature kids. Automatic versus deliberate parenting. You might say there are 2 kinds of parenting modes, automatic and deliberate. Automatic parenting includes the things you do spontaneously, without really thinking, and with no real training, such as picking up and comforting a sobbing 2-year-old who has just fallen down. Comforting an upset child is a positive example. But automatic parenting can also include actions that aren't so useful, such as screaming at a 7-year-old who keeps getting out of bed because she says she hears a noise in her closet. Here's what you'll want to do with the 1-2-3 magic program. 1. Hang on to your positive automatic parenting habits. You'll find that some of your beneficial parenting moves are already part of the program, such as being a good listener or praising your kids' efforts. 2. Identify your automatic parenting habits that are harmful, useless, or upsetting. As you listen to this book, decide how you'll replace these negative actions with deliberate, respectful, and more useful 1-2-3 magic strategies. 3. Practice, practice, practice. Work hard and thoughtfully until the new methods become automatic. Because 1-2-3 magic works so well, it tends to be self-reinforcing, which makes the deliberate to automatic conversion much easier. Automatic parenting includes another critically important activity that you do all the time, modeling. Children are great imitators, and they learn a lot by just watching the way you behave. If you are respectful toward others, your kids will tend to be the same. If you scream in fury during fits of road rage, on the other hand, well, you get the idea. The goal, therefore, is effective automatic parenting. This approach takes some concentration and effort in the beginning, but in the end, it's a whole lot less work, and you and your family are a whole lot better off. Quick tip. Identify your automatic parenting habits that are harmful, useless, or upsetting. As you listen to 1-2-3 magic, decide how you replace these negative actions with deliberate, respectful, and more useful strategies. 2. Your job as a parent. 3 things you can do to raise happy, healthy kids. We have 3 separate parenting jobs that require different strategies. Each of these parenting jobs is distinct, manageable, and important. They also are interdependent, Each relies to some extent on the others for its success. Ignore any of these tasks at your own risk. Do these three well, and you'll be a pretty good mom or dad. The first two parenting jobs involve discipline and behavior concerns, while the third focuses on the parent-child relationship. Parenting job one involves controlling obnoxious behavior. You will never like or get along well with your children if they are constantly irritating you with behaviors such as whining, arguing, teasing, badgering, tantrums, yelling, and fighting. In this audiobook, you will learn how to use the 1-2-3 counting technique to control obnoxious behavior, and you will be pleasantly surprised at how effective that simple technique is. Parenting job two involves encouraging good behavior. Encouraging good behavior, such as picking up toys, going to bed, being courteous, and doing homework, requires more effort by parents and more effort from kids to engage in the encouraged behavior than controlling difficult behavior does. In this audiobook, you will learn 7 simple methods for encouraging positive actions in your kids. Parenting job 3 is strengthening your relationship with your children. Some parents merely need to be reminded of parenting job 3. Other parents have to work hard at remembering to do it. Paying attention to the quality of your relationship with your children will help you with jobs 1 and 2, and vice versa. How do our 3 parenting jobs relate to the warm and demanding parenting traits? As you may have guessed already, the tactic for job 1, controlling obnoxious behavior, depends almost entirely on the demanding parent role. There is not much warm or fuzzy about it. Job 3, however, will rely almost entirely on the warm side of the parenting equation. And finally, job 2, encouraging good behavior, will employ both warm and demanding strategies. Quick tip. Some parents only need a simple reminder about parenting job 3, strengthening your relationship with your children. However, other parents have to work hard at remembering to do it. Stop versus start behavior. When it comes to discipline, children present 2 basic problems to adults, and these 2 problems define the first 2 parenting tasks. When we are frustrated with our children, the kids are either 1, doing something negative we want them to stop, like whining, or 2, not doing something positive we would like them to start, like getting dressed. In 1-2-3 magic, we call these 2 kinds of things stop behavior and start behavior. In the hustle and bustle of everyday existence, you may not have worried much about the difference between start and stop behaviors, but as we'll soon see, the distinction is extremely important. Parenting job 1, controlling obnoxious behavior. Parenting job 1, and the first step to getting your family back on track, is controlling your children's obnoxious behavior, or stop behavior. Stop behavior includes frequent, minor, everyday issues such as whining, disrespect, tantrums, arguing, teasing, fighting, pouting, yelling, and so on. Stop behavior, in and of itself, ranges from mildly irritating to pretty obnoxious. Each of these difficult behaviors may not be so bad on its own, but add them all up in one afternoon, and by 5 p.m., you may feel like hitchhiking to South America. For stop behavior, such as whining, arguing, screaming, and teasing, use the 1-2-3 or counting procedure. Counting is simple, gentle, and direct. Strategies for controlling obnoxious behavior. For stop behavior, such as whining, teasing, arguing, pouting, yelling, tantrums, use the 1-2-3 or counting procedure. Parenting job 2, encouraging positive behavior. The second parenting job is to encourage your children's positive behavior or start behavior. Start behavior includes positive activities like cleaning rooms, doing homework, practicing the piano, getting up and out in the morning, going to bed, eating supper, and being nice to other people. You have a start behavior problem when your child is not doing something that would be a good thing to do. For start behavior problems, you will have a choice of 7 tactics, which can be used either one at a time or in combination. These tactics are praise, simple requests, kitchen timers, the docking system, natural consequences, charting, and the counting variation. Start behavior strategies, as you can probably guess, require a little more thought and effort than counting does. Strategies for encouraging good behavior. For start behavior such as picking up, eating, homework, bedtime, up and out in the morning, use praise, simple requests, kitchen timers, the docking system, natural consequences, charting, and the counting variation. Choosing your strategy. Why the difference in strategies between parenting jobs 1 and 2? The answer lies in the issue of motivation. If she is motivated, how long does it take a child to terminate an irritating stop behavior, like whining, arguing, or teasing? The answer is about 1 second. It's really not a big project. Depending on how angry or oppositional the child is, ending an occurrence of obnoxious behavior doesn't take tons of effort. But now look at start behavior. How long does it take a child to accomplish something constructive, like eating dinner? Maybe 20 to 25 minutes. To pick up after himself. Perhaps 15 minutes. To get ready for bed. 20 to 30 minutes. Ready for school? 30 minutes. Homework? Schoolwork might take anywhere from 40 minutes to 3 years. So it's obvious that with start behavior, more motivation is required from the child. He has to begin the project, keep at it, and then finish. And the project is often something the child is not thrilled about having to do in the first place. In addition, if encouraging positive behavior in kids requires more motivation from the kids, it's also going to require more motivation from mom and dad. As you'll soon see, putting an end to stop behavior by counting is relatively easy if you do it right. Start behavior requires more sophisticated tactics. In managing a behavioral difficulty with one of your children, you will need to first determine if you have a stop or a start behavior problem. Is the issue something I want the child to quit? Or is it something I want him or her to get going on? Since counting is so easy, parents sometimes make the mistake of using counting for start behavior. For example, counting a child to get her to do her homework. As you will soon see, counting produces motivation that usually lasts only a short time, from a few seconds to a couple of minutes, in children, and does not provide the lasting motivation needed to get a child to continue desired behavior. If you mix up your tactics, such as using the counting technique for homework, you will not get optimum results. But don't worry. This whole procedure is so simple that you'll be an expert in no time. Effective discipline will start to come naturally and, believe it or not, your kids will start listening to you. Parenting Job 3. Strengthening your relationships. Your final parenting job is to work on strengthening your relationship with your kids. This means making sure that screen time does not replace face-to-face time. More importantly, strengthening relationships means that you value enjoying one another's company. It is critical to your family's well-being and to your kids' self-esteem that you like, not just love your children. What does liking your children mean? Here's an example. It's a Saturday, and you're home by yourself for a few hours, a rare occurrence. Everyone has gone out. You're listening to some music and just puttering around. You hear a noise outside and look out to see a car pulling up in the driveway. One of your kids gets out and heads for the front door. How do you feel in your gut right at that moment? If it's, oh no, the fun's over, that may not be like. If it's, oh good, I've got some company, that's more like. Liking your children and having a good relationship with them is important for lots of reasons. The most important reason may be that it's simply more fun. Kids are naturally cute and enjoyable a lot of the time. And you want to take advantage of that valuable quality. And they only grow up with you once. Strategies for strengthening your relationships. Practice sympathetic listening. Avoid overparenting. Join in one-on-one fun. Solve problems together. Next up, in Chapter 3, we'll examine the strange and amazingly disruptive idea that adults carry around in their brains about small children. Chapter Summary. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by the importance and magnitude of the job of parenting? From now on, just focus on managing difficult behavior, promoting positive behavior, and strengthening relationships. That focus will make the task feel much more manageable. The rest of the time, just be yourself. 3. Challenging the little adult assumption. Why you need to remember that kids are just kids. There is an enchanting but troublesome idea that parents and teachers carry around in their heads about young children. This naive assumption, or wish, causes not only discipline failures, but also stormy scenes that can include physical child abuse. The idea we're talking about is known as the little adult assumption. The little adult assumption is the belief that kids are basically reasonable and unselfish. In other words, they're just smaller versions of grown-ups. And because they are little adults, the reasoning goes, whenever children misbehave, the problem must be that they don't have enough information in their heads to be able to do the right thing. The solution? Simply give them the facts. Imagine, for example, that at exactly 4:12 p.m., your 8-year-old son is teasing his 5-year-old sister for the 18th time since they got home from school. What should you do? If your boy is a little adult, you simply sit him down, calmly look him in the eye, and explain to him the 3 golden reasons why he shouldn't tease his sister. First of all, teasing hurts her. Second, it makes you mad at him. Third, and most important, how would he feel if someone treated him like that? Now imagine further that after this explanation, your son looks at you, his face brightening with insight, and he says, "Gee, I never looked at it like that before." Then he stops bothering his sibling for the rest of his life. That would certainly be nice, but any veteran parent or teacher knows that doesn't happen. Kids are not little adults. The crucial point here is this. Grown-ups who want to believe the little adult assumption are going to rely heavily on words and reasons in dealing with young kids. And by themselves, words and reasons are going to be miserable failures much of the time. Sometimes explanations will have absolutely no impact at all. At other times, adult attempts at enlightenment will take parent and child through what we call the talk, persuade, argue, yell, hit syndrome. Quick tip. Adults who believe in the little adult assumption are going to rely heavily on words and reasons in trying to change the behavior of young kids. And words and reasons are going to be miserable failures much of the time. Imagine this. Your child is doing something you don't like. A parenting book said you should talk the problem out no matter how long it takes. So you try telling your 5-year-old daughter why she shouldn't be disrespectful. She doesn't respond, so you next try to persuade her to see things your way. When persuasion fails, you start arguing. Arguing leads to a yelling match, and when that fails, you may feel there is nothing left to do but hit her to get the results you want. Actually, the vast majority of the time when parents scream, hit, and spank their children, the parent is simply having a temper tantrum. The tantrum is a sign that, 1, the parent doesn't know what to do. 2, the parent is so frustrated that he or she can't see straight. And 3, this adult may have an anger management problem. We're not implying that you go around hitting your kids all the time. However, the chief cause of child abuse, physical abuse, not sexual, may be the little adult assumption. A parent reads in a book that reasoning is the preferred method. When reasoning fails, the parent resorts to physical violence, because his favorite strategy isn't working, and desperation has set in. The acts of talking and explaining certainly have their place in raising children. But kids are just kids, not little adults. Years ago, one writer said, "Childhood is a period of transitory psychosis." She meant that when they were little, kids are, in a way, basically nuts. They are not born reasonable and unselfish. They are born unreasonable and selfish. They want what they want when they want it, and they will have a major fit if they don't get it. Consequently, it is the parent's job, and the teacher's job, to help kids gradually learn frustration tolerance. In accomplishing this goal, adults need to be gentle, consistent, decisive, and calm. Caution. One explanation, if really necessary, is fine. It's the attempts at repeated explanations that get adults and kids into trouble. Too much parent talking irritates and distracts children. How do you do that? You start by changing your thinking about children and by getting rid of the little adult assumption. To get this crazy and harmful notion out of parents' heads, we use a bit of what we call cognitive shock therapy. Although it may sound strange, think of it like this. Instead of imagining your kids as little adults, think of yourself as a wild animal trainer. Of course, we don't mean using whips, guns, or chairs, and we certainly don't mean being nasty. But what does a wild animal trainer do? He chooses a method, which is largely nonverbal, and repeats it until the trainee does what the trainer wants. The trainer is patient, gentle, and persistent. Our job in this audiobook is to present some training methods to you, so that you can repeat them until the trainees, your children, do what you want them to. Fortunately, you do not usually have to repeat these methods for very long before you get results, and you can gradually add more talking and reasoning into your strategy as the kids get older. But remember this, one explanation, if necessary, is fine. It's the attempts at repeated explanations that get adults and children in trouble. From dictatorship to democracy. The overall orientation of 1-2-3 magic is what you might call dictatorship to democracy. When your kids are little, your house should be pretty much a benign dictatorship, where you are the judge and jury. Your 4-year-old, for example, cannot unilaterally choose, at 7:30 in the morning on Wednesday, to skip preschool because she wants to stay home and play with her new birthday stuff. When the kids are in their mid to late teens, however, your house should be more of a democracy. Teenagers should have more say about the rules that affect them. You should have family meetings to iron out differences. Even when the kids are teens, though, when push comes to shove, who's paying the mortgage? You are. And who knows better than the kids what's good for them? You do. When necessary, you have a right and a duty to impose limits on your children, even if they don't like it. Too many parents these days are afraid of their children. What are they afraid of? Physical attack? Not usually. What many parents fear is that their children won't like them. So, in a conflict situation, these parents explain and explain and explain, hoping the child will eventually come around and say something like, "Gee, I never looked at it like that before." All too often, these parental efforts simply lead to the talk, persuade, argue, yell, hit syndrome. What if you have children who always respond to words and reasons? You are certainly lucky. Recent research has indicated that there are exactly 3 such children in the country. If you have one or more of them, you may not need this audiobook. Or if your kids stop responding to logic, you can consider using the 1-2-3 program. So, what is the training method we're talking about? We first have to explain what it is not. Key concept. Non-compliance and lack of cooperation in children are not always due to lack of information. Kids are not little adults or simply small computers, So raising children involves training as well as explaining. 4. Avoiding the two biggest discipline mistakes. The dangers of too much talking and too much emotion. The two biggest discipline mistakes that parents and other caretakers make in dealing with young children are 1. Too much talking, and 2. Too much emotion. Thinking of kids as little adults and then chattering away during a situation requiring discipline is bad, because excessive explaining makes kids less likely to cooperate by irritating, confusing, and distracting them. Endless chatter also leads to the talk, persuade, argue, yell, hit syndrome. But why is too much adult emotion bad during discipline? People today tell you to let it all hang out and show your feelings. Express yourself and don't keep it all inside seems to be the universal recommendation of modern psychology. Is this a good suggestion if you are a parent? One half of it is good advice and the other half is not. The good half is this. If you are feeling positively toward a child, by all means let it show. Express your affection or dole out some praise. The bad half of the let it all hang out advice applies to times when you are irritated or angry with your children. Cutting loose at these moments can be a problem, because when we parents are mad, we often do the wrong thing. Angry adults can yell, scream, belittle, and nag. They can also physically endanger their kids. The 1-2-3 program is as much a control on parental anger as it is a control on children's behavior. Why your kids like to upset you. There is another reason why too much emotion can interfere with effective parenting and effective teaching. When they are little, kids feel inferior to adults. They feel inferior because they are inferior. They are smaller, less privileged, less intelligent, less skillful, less responsible, and less of just about everything that their parents and the older kids are. And this lessness bugs them a lot. They don't like it. They like to feel they are powerful and capable of making some mark on the world. Quick tip. If your little child can get big old you all upset, your upset is the big splash for him. Your emotional outburst accidentally makes your child feel powerful. Watch your 2-year-olds. They want to be like those cool 5-year-olds, who can do a lot more neat things. The 5-year-olds, in turn, want to be like the cool 10-year-olds. And the 10-year-olds want to be like you. They want to drive cars and use cell phones and credit cards. And some do. They want to have an impact on the world and to make things happen. Have you ever seen a small child go down to a lake and throw rocks in the water? Children can do that for hours, partly because the big splashes are a sign of their impact. They are the ones causing all the commotion. What does this have to do with what happens at my house, you may ask? Simple. If your little child can get big old you all upset, your upset is the big splash for him. Your emotional outburst has the unintended consequence of making your child feel powerful. His reaction does not mean that he has no conscience or is going to grow up to be a professional criminal. It's just a normal childhood feeling. Having all that power temporarily rewards, or feels good to, the inferior part of the child. Parents who say, "It drives me absolutely crazy when she eats her dinner with her fingers." Why does she do that? May have already answered their own question. She may do that, at least partly, because it drives mom and dad crazy. An important rule, therefore, is this. If you have a child who is doing something you don't like, get really upset about it on a regular basis, and, sure enough, she'll repeat it for you. When it comes to discipline, you want to be consistent, decisive, and calm. So what we recommend in this audiobook is that you apply, during moments involving conflict or discipline, what we call the no talking and no emotion rules. Since we're all human, these two rules really mean very little talking and very little emotion. But these rules are absolutely critical to your disciplinary effectiveness. There are discipline systems other than the 1-2-3 program, but you will ruin any of them by talking too much and getting too excited. These two mistakes, of course, usually go hand in hand, and the emotion involved is usually anger. Some parents and teachers can turn off the talking and the emotional upset like a faucet, especially once they see how effective it is to keep quiet at the right time. Other adults have to bite their lips bloody to get the job done. I saw a t-shirt a while back that said, "Help me. I'm talking and I can't stop." Lots of moms, dads, and teachers have to remind themselves over and over and over again that talking, arguing, yelling, and screaming not only don't help, but actually make things worse. These tactics merely blow off steam for a few seconds. If, after a month to 6 weeks of using 1-2-3 magic, parents find that they can't shake these habits, it's time to face facts. Some sort of outpatient evaluation and counseling is indicated, for the adult, not the child. Remember, we're talking here primarily about negative or angry emotion and talk, not positive. Good parents do express warmth and affection for their kids. They do listen sympathetically when the children are upset. Discipline and parent-child conflict situations are where you really have to watch yourself. Part 2. Controlling Obnoxious Behavior. Parenting Job 1. 5. Getting Results Through Counting. Sometimes your silence speaks louder than your words. When your kids are acting up, you now know what you're not supposed to do. Get excited and start chattering. But just what are you supposed to do? To help with your first giant parenting job, controlling obnoxious behavior, you'll use the 1-2-3 or counting procedure. Counting is surprisingly powerful and deceptively simple. But you have to know what you're doing for this process to be most effective. In the beginning, keep two things in mind. First, you will use the counting method to deal with stop, obnoxious, or difficult behavior. In other words, you'll be counting for things like arguing, fighting, whining, yelling, tantrums, and so on. You will not use the 1-2-3 method to get the child up in the morning, to get her to do her homework, or to motivate her to practice the piano. Second, if you are new to 1-2-3 magic, after you learn how to do the 1-2-3 process, you will be skeptical. The procedure will seem too easy, and it may not appear aggressive or tough enough. Some of you will think, "Hey, you don't know my kid. He is a wild man." Don't worry about feeling skeptical. Remember, the 1-2-3 program is simple, but it is not always easy. The magic is not in the counting. Anyone can count. The magic, or what may seem like magic after you've done it for a while, is in the no talking and no emotion rules. Watching you follow these rules makes children think and take responsibility for their own behavior. Of course, there really is no magic in 1-2-3 magic. It just seems that way. The program represents the careful, logical, and persistent extension of a special behavioral technology to the gentle discipline and training of children. Soon, when conflicts with kids arise, you will feel like a new person, consistent, decisive, and calm. Quick tip. Use counting only for stop behavior, not for start behavior. Introduction to Counting. How does the 1-2-3 process work? Imagine you have a 4-year-old child who is having a major temper tantrum on the kitchen floor at 6 p.m. because you, in your hardness of heart, would not let him use his favorite electronic device right before dinner. Your son is banging his head on the floor, kicking your new kitchen cabinets, and screaming bloody murder. You are sure the neighbors can hear the noise all the way down the block, and you're at a loss about what to do. Your pediatrician told you to ignore your son's temper tantrums, but you don't think you can stand it. Your mother told you to put a cold washcloth on his face, but you think her advice is strange. And finally, your husband told you to spank the boy. None of these is an acceptable course of action. Instead, you hold up one finger, look down at your noisy little devil, and calmly say, "That's one." He doesn't care. He's insane with rage and keeps the tantrum going full blast. You let 5 seconds go by. Then you hold up 2 fingers and say, "That's two." That's all you say. But you get the same lousy reaction. The tantrum continues. So after 5 more seconds, you hold up 3 fingers and say, "That's three. Take 5. Now, what does all this mean? It means that your son was just given 2 chances, the first 2 counts, to shape up. But in this instance, he blew it. He didn't stop the undesirable behavior. So there is going to be a consequence. The consequence can be a rest period or time out, about 1 minute per year of the child's life. Or the consequence can be what we call a timeout alternative, loss of a privilege or toy for a period of time. Bedtime 15 minutes earlier, 40 cents off the allowance, no electronic entertainment for 2 hours, and so on. Let's imagine the consequence you choose is a rest period or time out. After you say, "That's three, take 5, the child goes to time out. Some of you are wondering, how do I get him there? That question will be answered in the next chapter. After the time out is served, you will not believe what happens next. Nothing. No talking. No emotion. No apologies. No lectures. No discussions. Nothing is said unless the behavior is new, unusual, or dangerous. Quick tip. What is going to happen in a relatively short time is this. You'll start getting good control, believe it or not, at 1 or 2, and that is going to make you feel really good. You do not say, for example, "Now, are you going to be a good boy? Do you realize what you've been doing to your mother all afternoon? Why do we have to go through this all the time? I'm so sick and tired of this that I could scream. Your sister doesn't behave this way, and your father's coming home in 30 minutes. Did God put you on earth to drive me crazy, or what?" Tempting as this lecture might be, you simply keep quiet. If the child behaves, praise him and enjoy his company. If the child does something else that's countable, count it. In a relatively short time, you'll start getting good control, believe it or not, when you count to 1 or 2. And we will promise you this. The first time you stop a fight between 2 of your kids from across the room, and all you have to do is say, "That's 1," or "That's 2," and you don't have to get up or yell or scream or do something worse that you'll be sorry for later. The first time you do that, you're going to feel really good. Some parents ask, "My child always takes us to 2. Don't you think he's manipulating us?" The answer is no. Why? Because what really drives people crazy is 42 or 72. A child who has to be told 1,000 times before he'll shape up. 2 times is not so bad. Remember, if the child hits 3, that's it. Time for a timeout. Quick tip. If your child does something dangerous or extreme, don't count and give them 3 chances to stop. Go straight to 3. Other parents ask, with good reason, "What if my son or daughter does something that's so bad, I don't want to give them 3 chances to stop doing it?" That's a good question. For example, what if your child hits you? In that case, it would be ridiculous to say, "That's 1," and give him 2 more chances to sock away. If, in your opinion, the behavior is extraordinarily bad, you simply say, "That's 3. Take 5. And add 15 more for the seriousness of the offense. Let's look at another example. What if your 7-year-old learns a bad word on the playground? He doesn't know what it means, but he wants to try it out on you. So at 8:30, when you say it's time to get ready for bed, he replies, "You blankety blank." Same thing. "That's 3. Take 5. And add 15 more for the rotten mouth." When that child returns from timeout, a short explanation will be in order concerning what the word meant and why he can't use it in your house. Remember, explanations are appropriate when a child's misbehavior is new, unusual, or dangerous. That's it. That's the essence of counting. Counting is extremely simple, direct, and effective. But now you are thinking that there must be a catch. And guess what? There is. Counting challenges.